Greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. And this morning, I want to speak on the topic, be resolutely prepared for eternity. In other words, we are to be prepared for eternity, but not only be prepared, but resolutely prepared for eternity. I speak from Luke chapter 16, verses 1 to 12, so I'll be making references to this passage as I bring the word of God. Now, when children play, it is very interesting for us to watch them interact with one another. And they look very innocent. But now and then, what we will notice is that there will be one boy or girl who appears to be very, very smart, and smart to the extent of being very manipulative. So if another child has a toy that the child is playing, and this smart boy or smart girl is very, very interested in the toy, what he or she would do will go up to the other child and say, may I have a chance to play with your toy? Or may I play with your toy? And if that other child says no, this smart boy or smart girl might just say to this boy who has the toy, and may say this to that boy, or that if that boy is not going to let him play that toy, he or she is going to tell all the rest of the friends not to friend him. You see? So some children can be manipulative to that extent. Now, of course, we know that that kind of action is not right. It's not right to be manipulative. And if the parents of this boy or this girl are very, very responsible, immediately they will tell the child to stop doing that, to stop being manipulative. Now, when we look at this children's play situation, of course, we are able to appreciate the smartness and the cleverness of this boy. But at the same time, I dare believe that we are discerning enough that it is very manipulative and that it is wrong. Now, this morning, what I want us to do is to be very discerning when we look at this passage in which the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of this parable, the parable of an unjust steward. Now, I have got 3 points this morning which I want to speak about. Number one, the Lord does not condone wrongdoing. That's number one. Number two, the Lord praises preparedness for the day of evil. Number three, the Lord regards faithfulness in small things. In other words, he has got a special regard for faithfulness, or rather he gives regard to faithfulness even in small things. Now first, the Lord in this parable is not condoning the wrong that was done by this steward. It was very, very clear. The Lord referred to him as an unjust steward. Now, so we read in verse 8. And the Lord, Luke chapter 16, verse 8, members of the church, please help our friends refer to Luke 16, verse 8. And the Lord commended the unjust steward. So he referred to him as an unjust steward. All right, but the Lord says something that was quite praiseworthy about this steward. He said, because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Now, what the Lord praised about this man was not his wickedness, but rather his wisdom for making preparation for the future. Now, this unjust steward knew that he was going to be sacked by his master because of his unfaithfulness. And he knew that if he was sacked, he had to leave the master's home. Now, in those days, the servants working for the master would be living or staying with the master. So he knew that if he lost his job, he would be homeless. And so he wisely, albeit, dishonestly reduced the debts of the debtors of his master. So to the first debtor, he asked him, how much do you owe my master? And that man said, 100 measures of oil. And so he told him, reduce that by 50%. So 50% of the debts of his debt was struck off. And then to the second debtor, He said, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said, reduce that by 20%, all right? And so he, by so doing, thought that he was doing a very special favor to the debtors of his master. Of course he was doing them a very special favor. Why the favor for them? Now the favors for them were done because he was preparing for the day when he was going to be homeless. And he was hopeful that these people to whom he had done these special favors would give him a home to stay, a place to stay. So the Lord gave him credit for this preparedness for the day of trouble that this man was going to experience. But in canceling the debts owed to his master, this steward was clearly being dishonest. And he, of course, was doing all these things for his self-interest. Now, to be dishonest is to break God's commandments. Let's be very, very clear. The Lord wants us to understand the seriousness of this offense, the offense of being dishonest. So in the Word of God, we have cases of people who were dishonest and God's judgment came down upon them in a very, very severe manner. In the Old Testament, we have the case, for example, of Achan during the time of Joshua. Now, the instruction given by the children of Israel was very clear, that they, when they entered into the promised land and when they conquered the first city, the city of Jericho, they were not to take anything from the spoils of war. Nothing. They should take nothing from the spoils of war. All the spoils of war should go into God's treasury. But there was this man called Achan, as I said, who was very greedy, covetous, and he stole from the spoils of war. And the, as a result of his dishonesty, as a result of his sin, which was referred to as the sin in the camp, then the children of Israel actually lost in the fight against the men of Ai. Ai should be easily taken because Ai was not a strong place to fight against. The city of Ai should be easily taken, but they lost to the men of Ai because of the sin of Achan. Now, when Achan's sin was found out, judgment came down very severely upon him. Yes, he and his family who colluded with him were stoned to death and subsequently burnt up, cremated. Now then in the New Testament, we have the case of Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to the Holy Spirit. You see, they sell their property and they turn their proceeds of sale into God's treasury in the early church. Yes, and there was nothing wrong with what they did. Nothing wrong with selling the property. It was a very, very good gesture to turn their proceeds of sale into the church treasury. But what was wrong that they committed was this. They made it look as if they had turned in everything, the full amount, into God's treasury, when in fact they kept back some. So they were guilty of dishonesty. They lied against the Holy Spirit of God. And they were struck dead. That was the judgment that came upon them. Yes. Now we would say, well, this kind of action by God, this kind of judgment by God seems to be very, very harsh. But we must understand that the judgment that came upon Achan actually came upon the children of Israel, came upon him and his family during the time when the nation of Israel was in its infancy. And it was not many years before that time that they had received the laws of God, some 40 years earlier, when they received God's commandments. Now, God wanted the children of Israel to understand that there must be holiness in the camp of Israel. Holiness must something that was to be observed. And so God wanted them to realize that the nation of Israel must be very pure. And therefore, that punishment was given to Achan and his family. Now, in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, we must remember that the church was, or the New Testament church, was in the early stage of its existence. It was in its infancy. The church must be pure. Purity must be taught. Yes, honesty must be taught. And because they lied against the Holy Spirit, in that situation, God's judgment came down upon them. Now, the question for all of us is this: have we been dishonest in our dealings? Remember, God hates dishonesty, right? From all these examples that we have considered, we know that God hates dishonesty. The question is, have we been dishonest in our dealings? We sin against God. Friends, if we are dishonest, not just against our fellow men, but against the one true living God. Now, we could be smart, we could be sharp, like that steward was. But if we are dishonest, watch it, my dear friends, watch it. Some people are so smart and so worldly wise, as they say, they keep two sets of accounts books. One book, one set for the eyes of the taxman, and the other one for their private consumption. My dear friends, if we are honest, how many sets of books do we keep? Two or one? Only one set of accounts book, good for the taxman and good for ourselves. Now, if we are dishonest and unrepentant about our dishonesty, really we must examine ourselves. Why do we continue to be dishonest? Why? Perhaps, my dear friends, we have never repented at all. We are still living in our sin. Perhaps, my dear friends, we do not have salvation and we think that we have it, but we really do not have it, because the Lord says it very, very clearly. But except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Isn't that clear enough? Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. No, friends, let's understand this truth. The Lord does not condone dishonesty. So when we read this passage, let us read it correctly. The Lord does not condone dishonesty. He condemns it. And let us have, therefore, discernment in understanding this passage, this parable told by the Lord Jesus Christ. Next, I'd like us to see that the Lord praises preparedness for the day of evil, for the day of trouble. Now look at the action taken by the steward upon hearing from his master that he was going to be sacked from his job. Okay, look at chapter 16, verses 2 to 7. Verses 2 to 7, I read them for you, these verses. Verse 2, and he called him, the master called the unjust servant, and said unto the unjust servant, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. In other words, I'm not able to farm. To beg, I am ashamed. I'm resolved what to do, that when I am out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him. Everyone, not just the two were possibly representative of the rest. And said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. So 50% of the debts was written off. Then said he to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. In other words, 20% of the debt was written off. Now this man was, unjust steward was really one who was very dexterous. He's got good business sense, shrewd. So he was preparing for the day when he was out of a job and was homeless. He wanted to have a place to stay. He was thinking of his security in the future. My dear friends, the Lord then praised this man for his preparedness for securing his future. And so we read in verse 8, the Lord commended the unjust judge because he had done wisely. For the children of this world, unbelievers in other words, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Wiser than those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are not the children of this world often wiser than the children of light? Their thoughts of planning for the future, to secure the future, my dear friends, are things that we ought to learn from as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must take action to prepare for the day when we shall be leaving our earthly habitation, Right now, we are in our earthly habitation, in this body of ours. We must be prepared for the day when we will be called away to leave this earthly habitation of ours. God's word likens our physical body to a tabernacle, a tent, a house that is not permanent. Yes, an earthly house of this tabernacle, not the permanent house. That is why it is referred to as a tabernacle, a tent. Yes, one day this tent that we live in, or the soul resides in, is going to be folded out. And then we got to move on. We got to move someplace. As it were, we got to move house. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, we read, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Right? Now, will we have this building of God and house not made with hands to move into? Alright, here we have got this earthly tabernacle, an earthly house. Alright, the question is, do we have this building of God and house not made with hands for us to enter? Are we moving from this place, earthly tabernacle, to that house that the Lord has prepared for us? Now, what is this house of this building of God and house not made with hands? My dear friends, the Lord or the Word of God or the Apostle Paul is referring to this glorified body that the Lord has prepared for us, that believers will be moving into someday when they leave their earthly tabernacle. So this glorified body will be ours if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. One day when we see him face to face, our soul will be occupying this glorified body. The building of God, a house not made with hands. Yes, the question is, will we be moving into that house? And also, the Lord talks about mansions in heaven. And also, what preparations are we making to ensure that the Lord right now is preparing for us heavenly mansions? The Lord talks about heavenly mansions. And he says this in the book of John, the Gospel of John, John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. He says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." Now, who is the Lord speaking to? Or whom is the Lord speaking to? My dear friends, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this promise is not for you. This mansion that is the Lord has gone to prepare is for believers. Or these mansions are for believers and not for unbelievers. So this message or these words of God are not addressed to you if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have heavenly mansions. You don't have. But friends, let us be sure that when we leave this earthly tabernacle of ours, that we have a home in heaven, the mansion in heaven that the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to prepare for us. And you can be very well prepared to occupy that heavenly mansion if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, if you have trusted in him as your Lord and Savior, and if you have truly repented from your sins. Now notice what this unfaithful steward says when he knew that he was going to get the sack. Verse 3 again. "Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I'm ashamed. I'm resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." Now some commentators think that the steward was just saying, "I know what to do." When he said, "I am resolved what to do," some commentators say, he's just saying, "I know what to do." But friends, the King James translators got it spot on. The King James translator translate the words as, "I am resolved what to do." In other words, I'm decisive. I'm resolute in what I want to do. Yes, he was very, very decisive. Now, in our making our preparation for eternity, my dear friends, we must be very resolute. We must be very decisive We must not be hesitant. We must act like great heroes of the faith when the Lord called them to serve him. You take the case of Abraham. My dear friends, when the Lord called Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees to leave Ur of the Chaldees to a place which he did not know where it was. All right, the Lord didn't tell him where he was going, but merely call him and say, Abraham, you listen. Get out of the land or get out of Ur of the Chaldees. What did Abraham do? The word of God says, Abraham obeyed. Let me read you these words in Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. He didn't even know where he was going. He simply obeyed, decisive. He took the action and he went. Now, you look at another great hero of the faith, the Apostle Paul. When the Lord called him, when he was on the road to Damascus to ferret out Christians, to persecute them, when he saw the Lord face to face, yes, he repented. And as of that day, he was absolutely resolute in following the Lord Jesus Christ. He said this, let me read you these words from Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. Let me read this to you slowly. You don't have to refer to these verses. I'll read to you slowly. But when it pleased God, Paul said, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb. In other words, when my mother gave birth to me, and this separation from the mother's womb was of course caused by God, and called me by his grace. Now when did the Lord call him? The Lord called him when he was on the road to Damascus. Verse 16, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. What was his response? Immediately, he said, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. In other words, he didn't go up to Jerusalem to consult with Peter, John, Andrew, Nathanael, and so forth. Immediately, he responded to the call of the one true living God and started preaching the gospel. So he said, I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Now, some people say that he straight away went into Arabia and started to preach in Arabia and then subsequently returned to Damascus to preach. There was also a possibility that he went to Arabia to meditate so that he would be better taught by the Spirit of God and be a better preacher. But whatever it was, my dear friends, he took action immediately to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for 3 years he did that before he ever went up to the city of Jerusalem to meet with the disciples. So he was resolute in serving the Lord all the way. He was preparing for the future till the day he died, till the day he was called home to be with the Lord. Now, my dear friends, in our preparation for eternity, that is the posture we must take. We must be very resolute, determined, decisive. Let us not waver. Let us not dilly-dally. Let us not muck around, as the Aussies say. But we must be very, very business-like. Now, if we muck around, and if we are dilly-dallying and not business-like, I tell you this now, wake up. Wake up. The Word of God says, wake up. It is later than you think it is. Now, if you have not made that vital decision to come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior yet, understand this truth, friends. It is later than you think it is. All right? Don't say that, I'm still young. I've got time yet. Yes, I don't have to believe in him now. Yes, I can do it later on. Don't do that, friends. I read about this young lady who was urged to repent from her sins when she went to a revival meeting. And that night she heard the gospel, but she was not prepared to come to believe in Jesus. And so she said, I will seek the Lord tomorrow night. So the next night came, she wasn't going to the revival meeting. Instead, she was going to a party. The mother said to her, daughter, please don't go to the party. Go to the revival meeting. And you know what she said? I will go to the revival meeting if I die. So she was so rebellious. And then she rushed upstairs to make up, to prepare herself for the party. Then a short time later, a boy came to the house to bring her to the party. Mother from downstairs called up the daughter to come down, but there was no response. So she went upstairs, and then in her bedroom, the bedroom of the daughter, this mother saw this girl seated in front of the mirror trying to tie a ribbon, but she had already become a corpse. She had died while preparing to go to the party. So friends, let's understand, you know, death can strike any time. It is no respecter of persons, no respecter of age. I told you this before, but I have to tell you this again, because this scene that I saw many years ago is still very, very clear in my mind. As I talk to you, I can still picture that scene right in front of me, right now. I remember it was after a worship service at a Life Bible Presbyterian Church. I was worshiping in that church at that time. The church was preparing to go to a Bible camp. And then there was this little girl. She was not into her teens yet, a young, sweet little girl. She was the most angelic little girl I've ever met. And I was standing some distance away from the church. Yes, if you you've been to Life Bible Presbyterian Church, you know what I mean. It was the badminton court at that time, and I saw her, and I waved to her, and she waved back to me, smiling as usual. But friends, that was the last time I saw her. I never saw her again. The car that she traveled in to go to the camp met with an accident, and she died in the accident. Yes. How sad it was. But thankfully, she was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so she went home safely into the arms of the Lord Jesus. Now, I tell you this because I'd like us to understand that death is no respecter of age. It can strike anybody, anytime, at any age. Yes, don't postpone your decision to receive Him as Lord and Savior. Do it today, my dear friends. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Make sure that we are very ready to meet the Lord, just like this man, General von Hindenburg. All right, he was very prepared to meet with the Lord. He was a man with very, very few words. He was a very quiet. He was a quiet person, and the doctor who was treating him was also a believer. The doctor was a believer. Patient was also a believer. This doctor had written this book, Death in the Lord. One day, the dying general asked his doctor, "Doctor, is death in the room yet?" The doctor said, "No, general. It is walking around in the yard. It is waiting to come in." General von Hindenburg then said, "Very well, then I must talk to the Lord." Yes, he wanted to talk to the Lord. He reached out for his Bible from underneath his pillow and started reading the passage which I read earlier on to you. "Yes, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And so this dying general read that passage, and he said to the doctor, "Doctor, I'm now ready. Open the door and let death come in." And so the general then left time and entered into eternity, well prepared to meet his Savior. Now, my dear friends, are you prepared to meet our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Today, if death were to knock at our door, will we be ready to respond? I trust, my dear friends, all of us here are ready to respond. Now, if you are already a believer, then you must be prepared for eternity by making use of the talents which the Lord has given to you. Now, what has the Lord given to us? I've said that many, many times. Maybe I should do a little quiz. Yes. What has the Lord given to us? Time, of course. Money, abilities, gifts, various things. My dear friends, if you sit down and think about the things that the Lord has given to us, the list can be quite long. Yes, it is true, we must make use of our talents to serve the Lord through our service to our employers if we are working. Now, if you are a student, then of course you must make use of your talent to work very, very hard, to study very, very hard, to make sure that you pass your exams. Yes, you must do that. Now, if you are a mother, then be the best mother you can. Make use of your mothering talent to mother your children and be the best mother you can. And if you are a father, the head of the home, then make sure that you are the spiritual head in the home. And then make sure that you are bringing your whole family to be drawn closer unto the Lord. Yes, but friends, let me ask you, what about also serving the Lord through your service in the church? Yes, you have service outside the church, you make use of your talents to serve the Lord outside the church. What about making use of your talents to serve the Lord in the church? Do you have time? Do you have time to come to the church prayer meeting? Now, I talk about the prayer meeting so very, very much because it is so vitally important. All right, you may think that I'm nagging, but friends, it is so vitally important because if the prayer meeting dies, this church will die. I can tell you that for sure. So it's so very, very important that the prayer meeting be a very lively prayer meeting. So where are you on Friday night? Yes, you see, I don't have time. Maybe you can adjust your time, you adjust your timetable, reschedule your commitments, and then come to the house of the Lord on Friday night to participate in the church prayer meeting. Will you not make that commitment, my dear friends? I pray that you will. Yes, and I pray that you feel very, very guilty that you do not come to the house of the Lord on Friday to pray. Yes. Then you have time to participate in the Bible study. Now again, you can rearrange your time to participate in the Bible study. When you come to the Bible study and participate in the study of the Word of God, you not only edify yourself. Actually, by your sharing, you are also edifying other people. So you are actually serving the Lord with your talent. And do you have time to serve the Lord? Younger people at the kids' club. Yes, and I'm very, very thankful that there are young people in our church who make time to come on a Saturday afternoon to serve the Lord at the kids' club. They can very well be engaged in their own social activities and have a good time somewhere. But no, they'll come to the house of the Lord to serve Him. They make use of every ounce of their strength to serve Him. They are making preparation for the time when they leave time to enter into eternity. And how glad, my dear friends, if all of us have been faithful in making use of the talents that the Lord has given us to be entering into eternity, because then we will be hearing the Lord say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The Lord, the great apostle Paul, labored day and night in preparation for the day when he will be meeting with his Savior. And so on his deathbed, when he was preparing for the time of his execution, he said this, yes, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also who love his appearing." Now, I said it wrongly. He didn't say, "I finished the course." I finished my course. In other words, the course which the Lord had assigned him to complete. Yes, and so he was very, very prepared to meet his Savior. What about us, my dear friends? When we leave this earthly habitation of ours, will we be very prepared to meet our Savior? Thirdly, let us see that the Lord regards our faithfulness even in small things. Now, to Him, faithfulness in small things is vitally important. Now, look at verse 9 to verse 12 of Luke chapter 16. Now, verse 9, "And I say unto you," the Lord says, "make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation." Now, I have no time to explain this verse today, so I'm going to skip verse 9 and go on to verse 10. "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust? Who will commit to your trust the true riches if you have been unfaithful in the unrighteous mammon?" What is meant by unrighteous mammon? Mammon, we know, is money. Here, what it means is not money that is acquired in an unlawful manner, but it is money that we spend in a very careless manner. thinking that the money belongs to us, when in actual fact, the money does not belong to us. Our wealth, our possessions, our assets don't belong to us. They belong to the Lord. We have been assigned to be stewards over our possessions. So if we spend them thinking that the money is ours or the assets are ours, then, my dear friends, we are treating this wealth that we have as unrighteous mammon. So that's what is meant by unrighteous mammon. Now, verse 10. The Lord says, he that is faithful in that which is least is unfaithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. In many companies, people look for men and women who are honest, people of integrity. Yes, now, if you lack integrity and you show your lack of integrity by the way you work, you cannot expect to be promoted. I remember still years ago working at this company that I worked for, there were people who always seemed to be working very hard. So sometimes I would comment to the supervisor of this group of employees and say, oh, your employees work very hard. He smiled and he said, they seem to be working very hard. In actual fact, they are not. They could easily have finished their work in half the time, but they just work to fill out the 8 hours of the day. And so where are they? Do you think that the boss was not smart enough to know that they were not working? The boss was smarter than what they thought he was. Yes, and that's why these employees were never promoted. They never understood why they were never promoted. But they were not promoted because they were not actually applying themselves to the work that they were assigned. Now, friends, this same principle applies to the promotion of our handling earthly assets, handling unrighteous mammon to our handling eternal treasures or heavenly treasures that will be given to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same, all right? The same principle applies to this promotion from our handling earthly things, earthly assets, to handling heavenly treasures, yes? If we are unfaithful in the handling of unrighteous mammon, we cannot expect to be promoted to be handling all these heavenly treasures which the Lord has in store for those who are faithful to Him. If we are dishonest, my dear friends, how can we expect to be handling heavenly treasures? The Lord says it clearly in verse 11. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? As I said, the true riches refer to heavenly treasures. Heavenly riches. These treasures are immensely great. They do not corrupt. Yes, they do not perish. Yes, they are very, very precious. The Lord says this, I read for you. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. If you are not honest, yes, if we are not honest, we have to ask ourselves whether we have truly repented. If we are not honest, we are actually breaking God's laws. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if we persistently break them, as I said earlier on, we have to very seriously ask ourselves whether or not we have truly repented. Remember what the Lord says. I say it again. The Lord says, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Now the Lord takes cognizance of faithfulness in small things. Now this would include how well we apply diligence in our duties. Now we have our duties in the church, all of us here, right? Some preach, some teach, some handle manual tasks, some handle things that appear to be very routine, some handle maintenance work, some serve in the kitchen, and many others serve behind the scene. Yes, the question is, how faithful have we been in handling our duties when we come before the Lord someday? You know, the question that the Lord is going to pose to us is, how faithful have you been in the talents that I have entrusted to you? Can we say that we had been faithful? If we had been slothful and we had been delivering half-baked jobs all the time when we serve the Lord? Yes, when we serve the Lord, my dear friends, can we say that we had been faithful? Now, we can pull wool over other people's eyes. People look at us and we appear, could appear to be working very, very hard. But the Lord knows, my dear friends, yes, we cannot pull wool over the Lord's eyes. Remember, the Lord is not mocked. He knows whether we are sloppy, slothful, or he knows whether we are irresponsible or not. Now, in this parable told by the Lord, let us understand. Dishonesty is never condoned by the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you understand when you read this parable. We have the examples of judgment coming upon Achan in the Old Testament and judgment coming upon Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament. Judgment came upon them because of that dishonesty. If we are dishonest and we continue to be dishonest, my dear friends, as I said, and I say it repeatedly, we have to search ourselves whether or not we truly have repented. And if we have not repented, my dear friends, we definitely will not be prepared for the day of death. Surely we will not be prepared for that. And what the Lord prays about this unfaithful servant was not his dishonesty, but his preparedness for the day of trouble. Now, our Lord wants us to understand that we must be prepared for the time when we have to leave this earthly habitation of ours, this body of ours, to enter from time into eternity. Are we prepared, my dear friends, for that time? Are we prepared, so prepared that we are very, very sure that we will one day be occupying that building of God, a house made without hands? In other words, the glorified body which the Lord Jesus Christ will give to us on the day when he comes again, when you see him face to face. And are we prepared also to occupy that heavenly mansion? Yes, that the Lord has gone to prepare for us. And as I said, he has not gone to prepare that mansion for those who are outside of him, those who not believe in him, but prepared only for those who have believed in him. Then when we come to the close of our life, are we so prepared to meet our Savior that we will be able to say like the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. Yes, I've fought a good fight. Yes, and I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And finally, let's understand that the Lord expects us to be faithful in small things. How diligent, how quality conscious are we when we are so-called doing all these small things unto the Lord? My dear friends, remember the Lord takes cognizance of faithfulness in our duties, no matter how small our duties may be. And if we expect to handle heavenly treasures, when we come before the Lord, my dear friends, we must be faithful in the performance of all the duties that the Lord has assigned to us. How faithful have we been? How prepared are we to be faithful? How prepared are we for the day when we have to leave this earthly habitation of us to separate ourselves from time to enter into eternity? Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We pray, O Lord God, that your people this morning coming before you may take heed to what you say to us out of your word of life. We pray, O Lord God, that your people may be very prepared to leave this earthly habitation of ours and may be very prepared to leave time to enter into eternity. Father, we pray that you will be pleased to search our hearts at this time. We pray that you will cause the unbelievers in our midst to turn themselves to you and not hesitate, but be very, very decisive, be very resolute in making this decision to come to believe in you as Lord and Savior. If they have not made that decision yet, Lord, we pray that you will move their hearts today, cause them to turn to you by your grace. And Father, we pray for all those who are believers in the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray that we may make use of all the talents that you have given to us for your glory. We know that there are many things that we need to do in the church here, particularly our participating at the church prayer meeting. Lord, help every member here, every congregation member here, to realize the importance of coming here to pray. Unless your people pray, this church is not going to make any progress. And if fewer and fewer members of the church come to pray, we know that this, the witness of this church is increasingly becoming ineffective. We pray, O Lord God, that you'll be very merciful to us. We pray that more will come to pray. Lord, be very gracious, and we pray that you will cleanse your people of all sins, enable us to be fully dedicated to you for your glory. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.